Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of the Nemetschek Group regarding the first quarter financial results of 2016. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Ms. Zimmermann, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our conference call regarding the first quarter 2016. As always, we have prepared a short presentation with the most important figures and events of the first 3 months. At the moment, we are currently having 15 participants in this call, so thank you very much for your interest in Nemetschek. Now let's start with the presentation. I would like to hand over to Patrick Heider, who will lead you through the presentation, and after the presentation, we will be happy to get your questions.
Thank you, Stephanie. Also from my side, a warm welcome to the financial results Q1 2016 of the Nemetschek Group. After my short presentation, I'm happy to answer your questions. Let's start with the Nemetschek Group highlights in Q1 2016. We had a very good and dynamic start into 2016. Revenue increased by 16.7% to 77.7 million euro, previous year 66.6 million euro. The organic growth is on a high 15.6%. Revenues abroad increased by a strong 22.9% to 53.3 million euro. Revenue share outside Germany is at 68.7%, Americas at 23%. We accomplished a balanced growth in terms of software licenses and recurring revenues. Software licenses showed growth of 17.1% to a revenue share of 51.9%. Recurring revenues also in growth mode with 16.1%. Profitability in Q1 2016 developed very well. EBITDA grew stronger than revenues in the first quarter. EBITDA is up by 21% year-on-year and increased to 21 million euro. That leads us to a margin of high 27%, previous year 26.1%. We continue with our strategic investments into future growth potential, such as internationalization and intensified sales activities. Let's turn to the second page of the Nemetschek Group highlights in Q1 2016. Net income on group shares showed strong growth of 31.6% to 11 million euro. Net income without PPA increased by 27.5% to 13 million euro. The EPS is at 0.29, previous year 0.22. EPS without PPA accordingly at 0.34. Our cash and balance sheet status is still very solid. Cash and cash equivalents at 97.2 million euro. Net liquidity at 21.2 million euro. Equity ratio on high 44.5%. That gives us a leeway into further investments and acquisitions. Our AGM takes place on May 20th, 2016 in Munich. The dividend proposal is of 0.50 per share, which is a dividend increase of 25% year-on-year. The total amount to be distributed is 19.25 million euro. Just recently, we announced changes in our executive board structure with the appointment of a chief strategic officer. As we are growing strongly and we are going to continue that direction in the future, the CSO is working full-time on the strategic globalization of our group portfolio and managing the industry PR to increase the brand recognition of the Nemetschek Group. My role as a spokesman will remain unchanged. As Q1 performance is great basis for the whole fiscal year, we confirm our guidance in revenues 319 million-325 million euro and EBITDA between 77 million and 80 million euro. Let's turn to page three. We had an excellent start into the fiscal year 2016. Revenues in Q1 2016 increased strongly by 16.7% to 77.7 million euro. Solibri contributed revenues of around 1 million euro. Organic growth was on high 15.6% year-on-year. I would like to remind you that in the organic portfolio, our disinvestment in Glaser by the end of 2015 is integrated. On the next page, we are showing our continuing success in further internationalization. Revenues abroad grew by strong 20.8%. Stronger growth regions are Americas, Asia, and the Nordic countries. We continue our internationalization efforts and see a good potential to grow further in all regions. On page six, we can notice our great performance in balanced growth of software licenses and recurring revenues. Software licenses were up by 17.1% to €40.3 million. That was achieved by new customer wins as well as by higher penetration of existing customers. Combined with our high attach rate of around 70%, this will lead us to recurring revenues in the upcoming periods. Recurring revenues were up by 16.1% to €33.3 million and a revenue share of 42.8%. On the page 7, we can see our good margin development. EBITDA increased stronger than revenues in Q1 2016. EBITDA is up by 21% to €21 million. The EBITDA margin improved to 27%. We continue with our investments into future growth potentials in the area of internationalization, new customer segments, and sales and marketing activities. On the next slide, the strong performance in net income and EPS is reflected. Net income grew by 31.6% year-on-year to €11 million. Net income without PPA by 27.5% to €13 million. That leads us to an EPS of 29 eurocent and 34 eurocent without PPA. The tax rate was with 29.2% below Q1 2015. The two main reasons were, in Q1 2015, we had an extraordinary impact due to deferred taxes of unrealized intra-group FX gains. The second reason is that the tax rate is depending on the regions of profit generation. The guidance for the whole fiscal year will be between 31 and 33%. Let's move to our segment overview on page 9. The design segment showed again double-digit growth rates in all regions and brands by an increased EBITDA margin of 26.1%. The build segment performed a very strong growth of 41.2%, inorganic revenue contribution of €1 million, thus organic growth rate on high 34%. The good growth is reflected in the good margin development in the build segment. The managed segment showed very good growth of 13% and an improved margin development. The media and entertainment segment showed flat revenue development due to a strong previous year quarter and one-time effects of Adobe payment last year. As communicated, Maxon is in investment mode into new customer segments reflected in the margin. On page 10, we see our solid cash flow situation. Operating cash flow is up by 7.2% to €21.3 million and was mainly impacted due to an increase in trade receivables due to strong revenue performance, especially in March 2016, as well as a higher project business with slightly longer payment terms. Furthermore, higher payments for employee bonus resulting from 2015. Investing cash flow is mainly driven in CapEx, cash flow from financing activities for the repayment of bank loans. The net liquidity of €21.2 million gives us a further leeway to grow organically and via acquisition. The conversion rate is on strong 102%. On the last slide, we want to confirm our positive outlook for 2016. The excellent start into 2016 is a strong base for the whole fiscal year. Our strong market positioning with customer-focused, innovative brands under a financial powerful group organization is unique. Strong releases with great innovations will come up over the whole year. Internationalization is in great progress. Our clear focus and core competence is AEC, being the globally leading open BIM group. We will continue to grow organically and via acquisition. Therefore, we confirm our guidance of revenues between 319 and €325 million, which reflects a growth of 12 to 15%, and EBITDA in a range of €77 to €80 million. Thank you very much for your interest in the Nemetschek Group. I'm now happy to answer your questions.
We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speaker, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask the question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Knut Woller of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, starting on the build segment, Patrick, we have seen a pretty good margin development in the first quarter year-over-year, up substantially. And therefore, I just wanted to ask, because you mentioned internationalization as one of your key areas this year, has there been any postponement of spending from Q1? And should we expect that these investments then will come through in the coming quarters? Then secondly, when we look at the EBITDA beat compared to consensus in the first quarter, it has been mainly driven by the other OpEx line, where the ratio was down substantially year-over-year. How should we think about the remainder of the year in terms of margins? Last year we have seen Q1 has seen the highest EBITDA margin. Should we think about a similar pattern in 2016? And then lastly and quickly, can you remind us what the currency impact was in the first quarter and then the growth of Bluebeam? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for your questions, Knut. And I would like to start with the build segment. And that combines as well the answer to your question too. Yes, we always have those seasonal, let's say, allocation of the EBITDA margin where we traditionally start a quite good margin in Q1. So we will see in our forecast the same pattern as we did before. But there is definitely what we announced already in the guidance. There is a slight improve where we're good working as well from the EBITDA margin point of view. So in the build segment, postpones, yes, or they were already planned in the next quarters. So let's phrase it like this. So definitely we will come up this is why we remain in our guidance. So second quarter or the other quarters, the investments will come up. Despite the fact that the revenue performance goes extremely fast through to the EBITDA results, and this is why we are happy to see that strong organic growth in the build segment. So the second question to the general EBITDA margin development, yes, that refers to the first answer, and there is a certain pattern where we're going to continue. The currency effect on the overall is this year not that big. We are talking maximum on the revenue side of 0.5% as a mainly coming from the US dollar. So the currency effect that year compared to last year, we don't have big impact on that side. On EBITDA side, almost nothing on a margin effect. That was it, right?
Bluebeam was the final one.
The Bluebeam
growth, yeah,
exactly. The Bluebeam is around extremely good, and we are still happy. That's what we guided with them as well, and they are again overperforming. They are around 45% of growth.
Great, and your guidance is based, if I remember correctly, on 30-40% of exactly. Bluebeam growth.
Exactly, that was the guidance.
Okay, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Knut.
The next question is from Gal Munda of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is just on changes in Vectorworks and the appointment of Sean as the CSO of the group. Can you just talk a bit about what that means for Vectorworks and especially in the US as a branding, and what changes might bring there? The second question is if you can just give me a bit more granularity on the brand level growth for the design segment. And the third question is just about the level of subscription revenue you're seeing today in the total mix in terms of the recurring revenues, and if there is a point in time when you think that this will start, that subscriptions might become also a bigger proportion of your recurring revenues, I don't know, in 3 to 5 years, or what's your view on that? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your question, Gal. The first question is all about the new executive board structure. As Sean Flaherty, the former CEO of Vectorworks, he was always in a double role, being the strategic part as well in the group, with always set 30% level. And that's what we said, that doesn't make any sense anymore, and we would like to invest more into our growth and the strategic aspect. So Sean was promoted to the group level, which is great for us and a good investment with all his industry knowledge. And yesterday night I came back from the handover to the new CEO, which is Biplab Sarkar, the former CTO of Vectorworks. and that one was communicated to the whole Vectorworks customer base yesterday officially, which was great and well perceived, because normally our brand CEOs, they come out of a CTO position. And that was great for us that we have the possibilities within the company, which is always better to get promoted within the company. So there won't be any negative aspect, and there will be only positive ones from that change. And it was well perceived. I also talked to customers and resellers in the Vectorworks channel, making sure that it's all seen and perceived very positive. The second question is the design segment, which we are really proud of. So the eighth quarter in a row, we show up with, that's what we always guided, more than 10% in organic growth. And if you would take the Glaser D investment out, we would have proved that we grow 12% to the year before, which is great. All brands are doing really well, and that's all, again, the investments into innovations and being perceived in the market as an innovator. And this is where we really, in all regions and all brands, are really happy. The last one, there isn't really a change in our structure and in our expectations relating to subscriptions. We do see in our recurring revenue still a part of 4 to 5% coming from true or real subscriptions. And we won't see in the midterm view a big change. So what we say and what we state, just to remind you all, is that we're going to have the customer decide what they would like to choose as a software type to buy software from the Nemetschek Group. And all brands are offering real subscription or software as a service. And this is why the ratio isn't a big change at the moment for us, and we don't see it in the midterm.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gal.
The next question is from Andreas Wolf of Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning. A couple of questions from my side as well. So the first one would be on Bluebeam. What's the user base growth versus the revenue growth? Does it go hand in hand, or do we see the one growing faster than the other? The second is on the European expansion of Bluebeam. How are you proceeding here? Is everything well on track? And is it right that the majority of revenues of Bluebeam still comes from the US? And then on Solibri, maybe you could give us some insight on how you ramp up in the growth initiatives that you obviously had in mind when you acquired it are developing. And the last one is on yesterday's announcement of Oracle acquiring Textura. So what's your view on that deal? Obviously, it underlines the attractiveness of the construction software industry. How do you see the deal? I guess it's more of an issue for your German peers who are active in that space, but maybe you could comment on this one as well. Thank you.
Okay, so first, thank you very much for your question, Andreas, and I would like to go first for Bluebeam. The user growth relating to the revenue growth, yes, that's definitely because, and the second question relates to your first question, it's all about they getting more and more attractiveness in the European channels. This is why the Nordic countries where they focus and the UK is growing strongly, and this is where their headquarter is really, so the United Kingdom and Sweden are growing over proportional, and the headquarter Bluebeam AB in Sweden really makes sense from that perspective, and they are going to invest, of course, into more infrastructure. This is why the first question from Knut could be answered in the build segment. We will see some investments in the upcoming periods. So really new customers wins, and Bluebeam is gaining more and more attractiveness and market recognition and brand recognition in Europe. So this is why we are happy about that very good performance. But still, the US is really growing very well as well, which is a very good message as well, because they were already with a good market penetration in the US. Solibri, the 1 million, that's definitely in line with expectation, because they need to have 6 months of integration. They started, as you know, with 1st of January with us. So it's all about the integration, which is taking a kind of concentration maybe in the first seconds out of the market, and everything needs to be settled. they need to get integrated into the whole group portfolio. So that normally takes us 180 days, half a year. But we will stay with our guidance, what we said. They had the portfolio last year with around 4.5 million euro, and they will be in a growth mode for that year, and we are fine with that guidance that they grow around the 30%. The deal yesterday, that was interesting to see, even from a valuation standpoint. So you can see from the multiples, we were always asked from our multiples what we're paying, so there's even more in the market, with a small smile, I need to say. And this is why we don't see a big impact on that, because our core competence is AEC, and that's why we are so strong performing in the market. And it again proves our idea that so many external vendors want to come to AEC, like Oracle, which is interesting. But again, with our core competence AEC, we don't really see it negative for us. And yes, you are right, collaboration is a very important part in our world in AEC, but we have very good tools already in place. So with Bluebeam, a kind of collaboration, and all the other parts we have in the portfolio, we are well settled, and we don't see a negative impact out of that deal. Does that answer
your question? Yes, nearly. Just a little one was not completely answered. Bluebeam, is revenues growing fast? Are revenues growing faster, or the number of units, the users? That would be quite interesting to know. Thank you.
They're going hand in hand. So
okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Martin Jungfleisch of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I think most of them have already been answered, but there's one remaining. In the media entertainment segment, you expect sales growth this year of 10%. This quarter was rather flat. Was that more seasonal related? And do you expect that 10% for this year still on the margin side? However, they were pretty strong. Do you expect the margins from the strong Q1 to be sustainable over 2016? Thank you.
So what we guided is medium single digit to a high single digit growth for that year, so coming close to the 10%, and EBITDA margin would even be below Q1, and that puts or fits to the pattern of the overall portfolio in the Nemetschek Group. So yes, we would still keep the guidance revenue wise in the top line. We do think that the strong first quarter in the year before was really a topic for them. And being in investment mode, so you're right, definitely we keep to the guidance revenue-wise, and the margin will develop a little bit like the whole pattern, and they will do some more investments because, as I said, they are in LTP mode, or how we call it, in the investment mode.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Sebastian Krabat of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. I've only got one left, actually. Given the growing importance of the build segment for the entire group, how should we actually think about the seasonality of Bluebeam throughout the year? Because given that you reached 45% of growth this quarter, and you guided for 30 to 40% growth year on year, should we think about like growth below 30% for the next quarters, or are you still confident basically to reach the upper end of the guided growth range?
As there are different cultures coming along in that one, the American perspective and the conservative German perspective, I would keep the guidance for Bluebeam between 30 and 40%, but not saying that we will weaken. So that gives you an idea that we are, again, very positive surprised. Surprised is the wrong word, but they are, again, over expectations as they were since we acquired them. So we are still positive that they keep that speed, but we don't want to be too pushy and too pushy. We are definitely, but don't think about always over expectations. And this is why it's difficult to answer for me, but I would say you won't see a disappointment in Q2.
Okay, I understand. In terms of seasonality, should we think about also a stronger Q4 compared to Q3 and Q2, or isn't there any like significant and strong seasonality compared to the other subsidiaries?
No changes, whether in margin-wise nor in top-line. So we always have those season effects, and we didn't see the last 2 years any changes, and we won't expect that this year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions.
The next question is from Chandramouli Sriraman of MindFirst. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats on the good results, Patrick. Just a couple from my side. On Build, I gather you really don't have any significant competition on this brand. I was just wondering, any thoughts on the pricing? Do you see pricing improving, or do you expect it to improve? That's my first question. The second one, any comments on the M&A pipeline? Are you still working on leads? Anything interesting to comment on that? Thanks.
Thanks, Chandra, for your questions and congratulations. The first one, in pricing in the Build segment, we don't see any pressure or changes. It remains stable, so no changes from that side. The second one, for the M&A part, yeah, we are still hardworking. As I said and always communicated, that we have a shortlist prepared. A lot of targets are on this shortlist, 12 to 15. We are working on that shortlist, and we want to go further in the M&A part, giving you again the idea of the purchase price power of the Nemetschek Group at the moment with our sustainable and very solid balance sheet situation is that we have a purchase price power in place of 150 to 170 million euro. And it all depends by the end of the day to the revenue multiple, but as we see them still valid and realistic in terms of 3 to 5, what we guided, so we could think about adding to the portfolio the 40 million euro roundabout to our portfolio short term. And short term is always, as we said, we cannot plan it exactly, but the last 3 years we delivered each year a target, and we are working hard, and that's one of my favorite things, or favorite and from the capacity point of view. Yeah, we are working hard. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does. Thanks.
Thanks, Chandra.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask the question, please press 01. There are no further questions. I hand back to the speaker.
So thank you very much again for your interest in the Nemetschek Group. We were really happy with the performance in Q1. We continued our success story the last quarters, and we will do and work hard for the next quarters. And I'm looking forward to staying in contact with you latest to the next call. Thank you very much for your interest, and have a nice weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.